Steve Lent. We have two more family four-pack of tickets to give away for an upcoming Blast game throughout the program tonight, and we will continue to ask these trivia questions. But right now, a special guest who I'm sure knows the answer to each one of these questions, the former coach of the Baltimore Blast, Kenny Cooper, joins us now. Coach, thanks for coming on Sportsline.
Oh, my pleasure. Always a pleasure to speak to people in Baltimore.
All right, where are you right now, Kenny? What are you doing right now? And we'll start there.
Okay. My wife and I moved back to Dallas in 1998, mainly because her mother was actually very, very seriously ill. So we was either going to stay in Baltimore or move back. And from a family standpoint, we just decided that we would come back and help out with the family. And thank God her mother recovered. We thought we was going to lose her. So we've been in Dallas ever since, and I guess you could say I'm semi-retired. I manage and advise my son, Kenny, who plays professional soccer, which I've done for a number of years, and then do some consulting for different companies, some motivational speaking, and working with sales teams. So that's basically where we're at. And, you know, my daughter Amanda is down here, and my daughter Molly, Joe, is in New York, works on Rockefeller Plaza, and of course Kenny's playing soccer, so we reside in Dallas.
And Kenny Jr. has been around the MLS a bunch now. Actually saw him recently at a mutual friend's wedding, and I'm actually friends with, I guess, your daughter-in-law through high school, and of course Kenny's mother-in-law works here at WBAL, Claudia Grimm, so there's always these Baltimore connections, even though you're not here in Baltimore anymore, Coach.
You know, it's amazing. Molly and Kenny were kind of childhood sweethearts in school between the ages of 8 and 12. And Kenny's best friend, Mike Gill, they sat next to Molly. And then, of course, we left Baltimore. And Kenny didn't see Molly until he was over in Manchester when he was with Manchester United. And Molly'd moved over there for the summer. With a law firm as an intern, and actually Mike Gill kind of said, listen, Molly's in London, why don't you get together? And they got together, and they're man and wife now, and so it's just a great, I guess, a Baltimore love story. So, yeah, super, super.
I threw it out there earlier tonight in the program, just tweet me, call me, text me your favorite Baltimore Blast memories, what made it special, what made it so great in the 1980s, and I was just blown away, inundated. It's a little past my, or a little before my personal fandom prime. I was born in 1984, but still remember going to games, and then I remember going to the Spirit games, and certainly the current version of the Blast. But in your mind, what was the connection? What made it so different, special, compared to other markets in indoor soccer?
I think it was really simple, because in 1980, the owner, Bernie Roden, we was in Houston, and I coached there for 1 year, and he said, listen, you know, we're going to move, and we're going to move to either Baltimore or Boston. And he said, you know, I want you to be the coach, and, you know, you need to move where you want to settle and live. And to be honest with you, I never made it to Boston. I came to Baltimore first. I met Don Schaefer, Dr. Larry Blumberg, and Nick Mangione Sr. was very involved in bringing the team. Met people like Vince Bagley and Chris Thomas. Went to a Clippers game, and there was about 8,000, 9,000 people at the game. And I just called the owner and said, listen, we don't need to go to Boston. This is where we need to be. And of course, I was reminiscing a little bit with Jay earlier. You know, Jay, I guess,
followed. He's an encyclopedia, Coach.
Yeah, he followed the Blast from 10 years of age and remembers the great days. It was really simple, Brent, because the Orioles were having a difficult time and the Colts were having a difficult time. And I just felt that, you know, Baltimore had always been a great soccer city, great soccer area. And so I said to the owner, I said, I think the time is perfect for us. And we came in and we kind of took the city by storm. I guess Chris Thomas, who, God bless him, who passed away, but Chris was a big fan. And he said to me one day, I stuck my neck out at the first press conference because I guaranteed us a championship in 4 years. And he said, are you crazy? I said, no. I said, I actually believe with the support of the city No, I've always called it a city with a soul. The people in Baltimore are like the salt of the earth. It reminds me of Liverpool, England, in many, many ways. So I just felt that if we get the right attitude going in, you know, build it on team spirit. And, you know, I think the owner said to me, well, you know, you're going to be the leader of the team, and they have a great leader there in Earl Weaver, which he obviously did. And my answer was, you know, a leader can give up anything but accept responsibility. So I said to the players, you know, we have to be responsible and accountable. We got one shot here. And the players did a magnificent job. You know, I mean, the players, some that still live there, Timmy Whitman, Mike Stankovic, Keith Van Aaron, Scott Manning, Nick Mangione, you know, we had a great, great foundation. And we had a great list of sponsors. And I always give the media a ton of credit for the success of the Blast, because from the early days, they gave us a chance. They gave us a chance, whether it was Bill Glauber, who wrote for The Sun, Sandy McKee, Vince Bagley, Chris Thomas, Keith Mills, and even people like Richard Scheer, Oprah Winfrey actually covered the Blast in the early days.
Wow.
And we developed a kind of a love affair, and then we had a great following of sponsors, people like, you know, Richard Sandwich, Mr. Nobody. Jolly Rancher was a candy, and a lady called Donna Homer loved the sport. So all of a sudden, we had this great, great following of fans, committed fans, and also we picked up some great sponsors along the way. And then a lot of the people that are personalities in Baltimore today, you know, Scott Garceau and obviously Keith Mills and many, many more, Mike Preston, they in some way covered the Blast in the early days, and then went on obviously to either cover football and had great careers. But I give the players a lot of credit, and of course the ownership was vital, and Bernie Roden was just not really an absentee owner. He lived in New York, but he would travel down once a week, and he just loved the sport, big believer in the sport. And then of course after 3-4 years we won the championship, thank God. And then, you know, Nathan Scheer came in to own the team, and then handed it over to Bill Staley. And then, of course, Ed Hale, who has been a phenomenal, fantastic owner for the Blast. I mean, when you see, to this day, I believe, Brent, it's the longest-serving franchise in America, right? And, you know, they've just done a wonderful job in marketing. And, of course, Danny Kelly's a championship coach, have won many, many championships, which is something I couldn't do. I managed to be part of one. We won a bunch of divisions, but just great to see the team continuing and the league still going. And, you know, soccer, obviously, whether it's indoor or outdoor, has arrived in the States, and it's just wonderful to have been part of it.
Kenny Cooper, former Baltimore Blast coach, with us here on WBAL. And, Coach, looking back at the talent pool in those days, Jay and I were talking about this in the break. There wasn't an MLS equivalent, really, in those days. So did the best talent, the players who couldn't obviously go overseas, they stayed in America and played indoor, didn't they?
Well, again, it was timing, because I played outdoor for 10 years in Dallas and had the chance to coach outdoor professionally. But all of a sudden, the indoor, which I believe started in 78, came along, and I just felt it was the wave of the future. And what happened is the outdoors started to struggle. The league eventually, North American Soccer League, went out of business. And you know, Major Indoor Soccer League had a phenomenal run in the 80s. You know, national television, CBS, right? Just satellite TV, great rivalries, big crowds. And, you know, we didn't have the challenge of outdoor soccer at the time. So we basically, you know, captivated the soccer market. And, again, I think... you know, we always had giant goals with Baltimore, which was to be successful, you know, put people in the stands. And I said to the players, if you have giant goals, you know, they produce giant motivation. And we put together a group of unbelievably dedicated guys. And, you know, I said, listen, losing is not an option. You know, we have to win here. And I have so much respect for all those players, because we had a vision, we had a plan. And as everybody knows, a vision without a plan is nothing but an illusion. So we went on to do really, really well. We outlined always our expectations, right, as players and even people in the front office. And I basically had a saying that non-performers will not be tolerated. You know, performance is who we are. We've got to find a way or make a way to be successful. And of course he did. And you put the wonderful fans around that, and the sponsors, and the media. And I know, number one, the media is not supposed to be cheerleaders and fans. I understand that, but I think really the media helped develop a fantastic love affair with the Blast, which, you know, still continues.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Keith Mills, my current colleague here, and of course Vince, the dean of all Baltimore media, and a WBAL alum, the alum of alums. And, you know, when anytime Vince Bagley puts his name on something, it has to help in this town.
Oh, there's no question. And of course, you know, Vince mentored, I believe, Chris Thomas at the time. You know, Chris and Vince were very close. And there's a young lady, and she may still be there, and forgive me if she's not, but a lady called Sally Thorner came in, and actually she came in from Wichita, and she kind of fell in love with the Blast and covered the Blast. And it was just a phenomenal. And then I got the great privilege to spend a lot of time around, you know, the great Johnny Unitas, and he would come to games with Art Donovan. We just had the great support from everybody. You know, you had the likes of Jim Palmer coming to games, and when you have people like that endorsing your product, and then in the championship series against San Diego, which was unbelievably, you know, intense rivalries.
I was going to ask you about the rivalries, Coach, of those days, because this is a town that loves to be a part of something like that, and Cleveland, San Diego, New York, that was that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was intense. It was very physical. It was very passionate. I mean, everybody from the owners to the fans, everybody got involved in it. And I remember many times Cleveland, for a long time, couldn't beat us. And it seemed like we would go up there in front of 20,000 people and figure out a way to win, whether it was Paul Kitts and the Paracoli or Stamenkovich doing his magic. And we just figured out a way to win. And Bart Wolstein, God bless him, who since passed away, was a big believer in the sport. But he was very, very involved, and I happened to do an interview after we won a big series up there, and Scott Manning was fantastic, and we actually stole the series, and Bart Wolstein knocked on the door because I was asked by the Cleveland media, what are the two things you like about Cleveland? And I said, winning and leaving, right? And then the next thing you know, it turned into this unbelievable controversy, but, you know, the coaches in those days, Ron Newman was a great personality. As a coach, you had to set the standard. You had to be the role model. You had to be the motivator. I mean, you had to do whatever you had to do to win. And the players, you know, a lot of those players that had the privilege of me coaching have gone on to be successful coaches. They made the home in Baltimore, which means a lot to me. And even to this day, we actually had our in-laws in town last week. They were visiting Molly and Kenny, and we spent some time over the weekend. And I told them, I said, our best friends to this day, we've been in Dallas since 1998, but our best friends are to this day in Baltimore, Maryland. Just wonderful, wonderful time. Three of our kids were born there, and it's just, as I said, it's a city with a soul, a very, very special place, and will always be near and dear to my heart.
It is such a unique Baltimore tale. I just get chills hearing you talk about it, Coach Cooper. One last thing, and I mean this in the most endearing way. When you go to bed at night and wake up in the morning, do you smell the old Civic Center in your nose? And can you put yourself back into that moment in the bowels of the old Baltimore Arena?
Yes, I can. And usually when I go to bed, I play a little song, right? And you think I'm joking, but I'm deadly serious. It's called...
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
Celebrate,
do you really, Coach?
Good times, come on.
Do you really?
Yeah. We anytime we get a chance to play it, and what's interesting, some of my dear friends, when we've gone to weddings, either in Baltimore or Charleston, we always figure out a way to play Celebrate, Good Times, Come On. Yeah, that was a fantastic arena for us. We figured out it was small, it was loud, the fans were passionate, the fans were on top of the players. And, you know, we just went out there and kind of played like a Philadelphia Flyers, full court press, 100 miles an hour. Most part, we won. Every now and again, we'd get blown out like you do in baseball. But, no, it's just a great arena for soccer.
What a wonderful, wonderful last 10 or 15 minutes. Coach Kenny Cooper, former coach of the Baltimore Blast. Let's do this again sometime, Coach. We'll get a big reunion show going.
Yeah, anytime. I really appreciate WBL support. I appreciate the support of the fans continuing to support Ed Hale and the team.
Amazing stuff. We'll come back with more next year on BAL.